This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderé.
88.5 KRFY is listener-supported, commercial-free community radio for North Idaho. Become a member today at krfy.org.
Support for KRFY provided by the Sandpoint Reader, a weekly newspaper focused on arts, entertainment, news, politics, and lifestyle of North Idaho. It's available every Thursday at over 250 locations in Bonner and Boundary counties. More information is available at sandpointreader.com.
Support for KRFY provided by Finnan McDonald Clothing Company, a locally owned and operated outdoor lifestyle clothing and footwear shop for men, women, and children, located in downtown Sandpoint on First Avenue. More information at finnanmcdonald.com or by calling 208-263-3622.
Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here as usual on a Thursday morning with Jim Healy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. And this is not the usual Thursday morning. This is the first Thursday in December of 2024.
You are correct.
Yes, and sir. Should we talk about the previous 11 months that went whoosh?
It's going to be 2025. Can you believe that?
Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not out of 2024 yet, but I just can't believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. I'm still getting used to writing four at the end mm-hmm.
Well, don't get attached to that, young man.
Yeah. Okay, so 2025 is right around the corner, but hey, we still got four weeks left of 2020.
And they're not your everyday weeks. They are going to be cram-packed with all sorts of exciting things. Mm-hmm. We have a guest in the studio. Before we do the weather, we'll introduce Kelly Burt. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Kelly is with the library. She is the garden coordinator and seed librarian, and she's going to be talking about some upcoming events.
Yes, we're going to talk about some upcoming events at the library.
A good place to be in these cold days.
Yes, with the weather forecast, which I will announce right now. This comes to us from the National Weather Service. Currently overcast and 30 degrees if you're downtown. The high today is 35 and it looks like mostly cloudy. Tonight, the overnight low is down to 26 degrees. We've got patchy freezing fog.
Ooh,
and patchy fog.
Patchy. Patchy freezing again is going to be fog out there.
Yeah, which is, well, there you go. okay, we can discuss what freezing fog is in
or
a minute.
Or patchy.
I bet, or patchy, that's right. I bet Kelly knows what freezing fog is.
Kelly?
It's garden related, wouldn't it be?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Freezing fog. I think it just sounds kind of crummy.
Yeah.
Freezing fog as opposed to maybe it's fog in colder weather,
yeah,
below 32 degrees.
What distinguishes it from not freezing fog? Why does it matter?
Does it feel differently?
Does it look different?
Oh, I'm sure we're going to get freezing fog specialists on our phone.
The fogologists.
Yeah.
Who knew?
The patchy freezing fog continues tomorrow. The high is 37 degrees tomorrow. And then on Friday night, a chance of a wintry mix and
go away
and patchy freezing fog on Friday night.
It doesn't go away.
We'll be experts of it.
Yeah, it looks like we've got some precipitation coming on Friday night, and hopefully it comes down. I'm hoping it comes down as snow. A gentle snowfall would be just perfect.
Well,
at about 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Today I won't have time, but I'm hoping tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I thought that I had put my rake away for the season. And, you know, if tomorrow, because it's been rather pleasant as the day wears on, into the afternoon, I'd like to do one quick raking in the front yard and gather what I can in the back, and then I can rest.
Yes. Finally, you can put that rake down for real. Now looking at ahead at the weekend, on Saturday, it looks like we're going to get some rain. Rain or freezing rain, 100% chance of precipitation, and the high is 38 degrees, so most likely the weather service says that's coming as in the form of rain. All rain after 8 a.m. The snow level is 4,200 feet on Saturday. A chance of rain and snow on Saturday night, rain and snow before 7 a.m. on Sunday, and then chance of rain. It looks like next week, mostly cloudy and highs in the 30s, kind of like this, kind of like what we've had this week. And
No patchy freezing fog. Has that left the building by then?
There's patchy freezing fog in the forecast again for Sunday night. Okay. So that'll be returning, and it looks like maybe it'll be a mix of rain and snow middle of next week, but 20% chance of precipitation.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? I do have the weather forecast for the Washington, D.C. area, as I always try to do. I heard from my sister, and through the magic of technology and Alexa, she says on her counter, "Alexa, 88.5 KRFY." So we're being listened to in Arlington, Virginia. She says, "Good morning, Jim. Weather for 34 now, high of 44 expected. Wind gusts of 38 miles per hour, making it feel like 17 degrees.
Yeah. My brother sent me a message yesterday in Minneapolis. It wasn't that cold, but it felt like, I think, -8 because they were having gusts of like 42 miles an hour, and it was I think about 15 degrees outside. So, that gets chilly.
The wind makes a difference.
A powerful Arctic cold front is sweeping across the mid-Atlantic, driving all this wind that we are not experiencing out here. It's a very, very calm.
Ours is calm.
But we do have listeners across the country.
We sure do. And they'll be able to listen now to Kelly. What's new with the library in terms of your area of garden coordinator and seed librarian?
Yeah, well, right now the garden is at rest, thankfully. I've got my rakes inside. You better take your rakes inside before they're covered with snow.
Is your garlic planted?
Garlic is planted. Okay, we had a garlic planting workshop, actually.
You did?
Yep, with Ben Roniger of Allison's Ranch, and it was very popular. And
you bet.
The perk of that is that we had a program, and I got my whole bed planted all at once.
And you know, I mean, a lot of people don't know that you plant your garlic in the fall.
In the fall, before the ground freezes, and then you want to...
They just sit there.
They just sit and hang out.
Every time I pull into my driveway, I wonder, what are they doing underneath the ground right now? Are they having a cup of hot cocoa, or are they playing solitaire? You know, what is the garlic doing, Kelly?
It's just dormant. It has to go through this cold cycle, and it'll start growing roots and start the bulbs will start to enlarge. Come in the springtime once the soil starts warming up. So garlic's a really magical thing to plant. I love it.
Oh, I think exciting. It's wonderful to have garlic too, but how far south can you go? Can they do this in Boise? Can they do this in terms of how far?
As far as I know, you can grow it all over the country. I was just looking at a seed catalog from Asheville, North Carolina, and they're selling seed garlic. When I'm from North Carolina, when I lived in North Carolina, we didn't grow garlic. But as far as I know, you can grow it in anywhere. The southern states, as long as you get that chill.
Chill.
Yeah. I think in Florida, you'd probably have a hard time. It would probably rot in the soil, too. A little too moist.
Jack, are you a garlic planter?
Not yet, but I do. I have beds that are just sitting there. Is it too late right now?
No, you could still do it. Yeah.
Okay. As long as the ground's not frozen.
Yeah. Go for it.
Heck yes, because then magic happens in the spring.
Yeah.
And then what, about July or thereabouts?
You'll start getting those shoots up, and there'll be like a little curly cue on top. It's called a garlic scape. Chop that off and saute it, and it's so good.
Okay. Memo to self.
Yeah.
Plant, plant the garlic.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about natural connections.
Yeah. So my colleague Joyce Jowdy and I, Joyce spearheads the Natural Connections, and I'm kind of just her wing woman, helping her out in this series. So coming up two Saturdays from now, Saturday, December 14th, we have our December Natural Connections. It's a program that goes on at the library. It goes from 10 to 4. We generally have, we kind of try to stick with a theme for the season, but we'll also just kind of have a day of programs that highlight different forms of learning, different forms of education, and we try and pull from presenters all over our local area, but we'll also, we're reaching out into surrounding areas to get experts in the field. So this Natural Connections coming up on December 14th is our first program. Is going to be, the theme is healthy choices to ease holiday stress. So it's kind of a healthy lifestyle workshop. We're going to make date truffles. Ooh, so no bake date truffles, which I can tell you from experience, they are delicious.
No bake.
No bake. Yep. No sugar.
What?
Yep. Pretty. It is as it says. It's healthy truffle. So a really good thing to have around the holidays when you're, you know, kind of faced with all these like sugary options, which are delicious. Don't get me wrong. I have a sugar tooth, but kind of mix it in, or maybe, you know, steer your healthy choices towards other things. We're going to talk about ways to address our triggers during the holidays. So we're really going to go into some deeper learning about the science of like why our brain is triggered to make these choices of, you know, going towards the sugar or going towards the processed food. So we're going to talk about the triggers that go on in our brain to help us make healthier decisions. We're going to talk about exercising, ways to exercise in short periods of time to get your heart rate up to kind of keep you healthy. And we're also going to make some hot tea while we're there so we can have some alternatives to the alcohol choices or sugary choices. So we're really going to do a deep dive in this. The presenter is Erin Bowman. She's a local healthy lifestyle expert and exercise guru, I'll call her.
Okay. And what time is that?
So that's from 10 to noon. So
okay, a two-hour presentation.
Two-hour presentation. It's in the conference rooms at the library. All of these programs are always free. There's no registration required. You can just show up.
And can one just, let's say I'm interested in the first one, but I've got an afternoon commitment. Can I hop in and attend one of the presentations and not commit myself for the entire day?
Absolutely. You can come to one, all of them, go in and out, however you feel. We'll have light refreshments in addition to what we'll be making in this first one. We usually provide light refreshments like tea and crackers and cheese to kind of, but if you want to bring your own bag lunch too, if you want to stay the whole day and camp out, we do encourage you to bring your own bag lunch to kind of fulfill yourself if you need it.
And once again, this is Saturday, December 14th, a week from this Saturday at the library. Jack, what is your go-to holiday week need fix that you need?
Gosh, I don't. Yeah, sweets and mixed nuts, I would say. Oh, if there's a dish of nut, this is back. We try not to even keep any at our house because I know that I will reach into the bowl. But yeah, at my parents' house, if there would be, you know, at the end of the couch, there would just be a bowl of mixed nuts just sitting there the whole season long. And that's, you can just walk by and take a cashew, you know.
But now we have date truffles.
Date truffles.
Date. Yeah. I just love the sound of it. A date truffle.
Right. You know? It does sound fancy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. With a cup of tea.
Cup of tea. Yeah. Uh-huh. Really setting the ambiance at the library.
And a good book.
How about you, Jim? What's your...
Christmas baking. That's one of my memories growing up. And mine is Mexican wedding cookies. They're sort of like Russian tea cookies, the round ones, but this is a flat one and easy, schmeasy to make and so good. So that's my go-to. How about yours, Kelly? Do you have a, besides date truffles?
I love all the baking. I do have a sweet tooth weakness. And I do have two young sons. So baking all the things around Christmas is fun for us, whether and it's sugar cookies and decorating
I was going to ask you one kind of baking that your reputation rests on.
Ooh, I think my chocolate chip cookies are pretty superior.
Ooh.
Yeah, not to brag.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Her name is Kelly. And Okay, so that's 10 to noon.
10 to noon. Yep. Healthy choices to ease holiday stress. Following that at noon, we have the, let me get their names right. We have the Selkirk Conservation Alliance. They are going to come do water quality and some local actions that we can take to protect our streams and our rivers and our lake around us. So they're going to talk about citizen science. They're going to talk about how to monitor the water around you. So it's a really interesting subject that I think affects a lot of us. And they're a really good group of people that will inspire you to protect our lake.
Okay. And this is noon till 1:30.
Noon to 1:30. Yep.
Okay.
Following that, we're going to have Book Band-Aid Tidbits. So this is a really fun class.
Books, Band-Aids, and Tidbits. Okay. Yeah.
So it's put on by Rayla, who is our book mender at the library. That's going to be from 1:30 to 2, so a quick workshop. But she's going to show us how to preserve our books. So all these like really classic kids' books that I love. And of course, the spine's coming apart or, you know, pages are tearing. And so Rayla's going to show us how to do some simple mending at our own houses. So it's a really cool workshop. 30 minutes, you know, quick in and out, but really good information. Rayla's a great presenter. She's always done really good workshops on caring for books. So.
And I'm quite sure, you know, with a library where you have a wide audience of ways that books have been handled, that you probably have a lot of mending to do at the library.
Yes, she stays busy.
Ah, wonderful. So, yeah, that's the useful. One of the things I've gone back to is books that I read 50 years ago, paperbacks, and the whatever it is has dried, and I turn a page, and it slides
it
out.
Falls apart.
Yeah. You know, and what do I do there, Kelly?
Oh, you'll have to come to the workshop and find out. Yeah. There's some things I know that just can't be fixed. You know, you might have to take it to an expert book mender, but there's a lot of like really simple fixes that she's going to show us how to do for them.
Yeah. I don't know if these books are worth it. It's like my copy of Moby Dick, you know, that I paid like 75 cents for way back when. You know, the pages are just... You know, when I turn, it comes loose.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I know the kind.
Lord help me if I ever drop that book.
Yeah. You know? Do you think the paperbacks coming out today, have they changed the technology at all? Or are they going to be falling apart in 50 years just the same as the 50-year-old ones are?
That's a good question.
Indeed. Well, I wish.
If only Rayla was here. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask her.
Let's come on Saturday and ask her all these really important questions.
Come on here and talk about book care.
She would be a really interesting presenter for here.
I think that would be because, you know, I form an attachment with my books, you know, that the ones that I've really enjoyed, the ones that I haven't enjoyed, I take to the library, I donate to the library. But that doesn't mean they're bad books. They just didn't work their magic with me.
Yeah. No special memories attached to them.
Exactly. But boy.
The books that you've had for a long time, do you take care of them in any special way, or do they just sit on a bookshelf? Mine just sit on a shelf.
Some of them I put in plastic containers, you know, just to keep the dust off of. You know, it depends if it's a hardback or a paperback. That makes a world of difference. I've never had a paperback, a hardback fall apart on me, unless I've left it out in the patchy freezing fog.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. But I love books, and I have to admit, I'm not a Kindle person or anything like that. I love the feel of a book, you know, it's just sort of like back in the day, I like a vinyl album, you know, rather than the dinky little CD.
Physical media.
Yeah.
I like it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that takes us to 1:30 to 2 o'clock.
And then we're going to end the day with art journals. We're going to make art journals with origami paper. So, yeah, really fun, kind of in the same vein of, you know, books. But Sharon Gunter, who's a personal favorite of mine through the farmer's market, she's also the art teacher at Farm in Stidwell. She's going to come show us how to make art journals. And I've seen her journals before. They're beautiful. You get to go home with your own journal. You can do different sizes, different colors.
Cool.
She's really going to kind of go into it. And that's another thing to, it's nice to have around the holidays. One is like a gift or just for yourself to journal. It's a really good practice to have.
So this is from 2 to 3?
This is from 2 to 4.
2 to 4. And so one can spend a whole day at the library and you can begin at 10 with your date truffles.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to make date truffles there?
Oh, we're going to make date truffles there.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Kelly said that seriously.
Oh, very much so, yeah. We are going to make date truffles. We've got cute little boxes. You're going to go home with some date truffles. You're going to go home with your own little tea blend that you can mix. Mm-hmm. You can make your own tea blend while we're there. And Aaron's going to tell us about the importance of the tea. And so, yeah, you'll get to go home with something.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a great way for a family to spend at the library. Let's say if someone is not interested in one of the four, you can go in the library and just graze.
Mm-hmm. The event is at the library, of course. Is the library itself open for regular patrons too?
Yep, the library is open on Saturday.
So this is mostly going to take place, I'm guessing, in those meeting rooms, kind of in the new wing.
Yep, it'll be in the as you walk in on the left hand side. Those two conference rooms will take over.
Cool.
And for someone who doesn't know where the library is located,
we're on 1407 Cedar Street.
Okay, mm-hmm. And does one have to pre-register for these Natural Connection events?
No registration required. So if you wake up that morning and you think, wow, I really want to go to the library because it's patchy, freezing fog out, come join us.
And nothing like a date truffle to make that totally. Patchy, freezing fog acceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think so.
Yeah.
This is the Natural Connections program has been going on for how long now?
A little over a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a good response to it?
Great response. Yeah. It's been really fun to work with Joyce on these programs. I try to contribute one kind of more of the more gardening-ish theme each month. So, and then I also just kind of help with setup and communication and all that other. But yeah, it's been a great response. It's nice to have that monthly event that people know they can count on. Oh, there'll be a program at the library. I'll be able to go learn something. And they can kind of pick and choose what's interesting to them. And we're always open to ideas, too. If there's something that you want to learn about or experience, then we welcome ideas from the public. And then on the other side, if you have an expertise that you want to share, we're always looking for people who want to share their expertise. It's a great way to kind of practice your public speaking, to practice your teaching. Mm-hmm. So it's a great form of education.
And it's a great way to celebrate community.
Absolutely. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, there's not really a similar, that I can think of anyway, there's no similar kind of standing monthly engagement quite like this of, you know, anywhere else in our community. I think it's a great use of the library in that way.
Jack, if you had a skill.
Yeah, if I did, what would
could,
it be?
What could we book you for?
Yeah, what would I contribute to the I don't know. I guess come back to me on that one, Jim. I'm not sure that I can think of anything right now. How about you? I guess you would probably be in the book department in some way, literature. Or would you
comic
teach a craft?
Comic books or something like that. Maybe the art of postcard writing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, I send at least 3 postcards a day out, and you know, the another way to connect, but not necessarily the like with texting or something like that. I love postcards,
and you are a philatelist?
That's a stamp collector. Yeah, philatelist.
Philatelist. And would you say you are or no?
I
know a little bit about stamps.
Oh, I know quite a bit about stamps.
Okay.
Grew up with stamps.
Uh-huh. You still stamps, collect?
Stamps that you lick.
Uh-huh.
Rather than the Ooh. Adhesive.
The peel. Yeah.
I used to tell my students back in the day when I was teaching about stamp collecting, that's a hobby that you can lick the behinds of famous people.
Mm-hmm.
And stop and think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I love stamps. When I was a kid, my dad had an album, you know, and for me it was Ceylon, stamps from Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka. And I love just pretty stamps.
Yeah. It's what's the latest stamp that you added to your collection? Is it still growing?
No. I stopped 50 years ago, but I still collect used stamps, you know, that I have people foreign or whatever. And I hope, you know, I've got boxes of used stamps, and I hope someday there'll be a knock on my door from some young person saying, I'm starting a stamp collection. Would you happen to have any around? Boy, back up your pickup truck.
Yeah.
You know, but no, stamp collecting, you know, that's how I learned that, you know, Japan was Nippon. Hungary was Magyar. You know, different country names and geography and people. So, anyway, Kelly.
That's fun. I did not know that.
Yeah. I
once read a paperback book, Jim, that was probably falling apart. And stamp collecting was about the theft of a stamp collection because they're valuable and so portable. It was the perfect target for a crime.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So it was a detective fiction?
It was detective fiction. It was, I think it was one of the Travis McGee series. And they were always looking for interesting, valuable things. I think the author did a nice job of collecting weird things that people could steal and lose that Travis McGee would have to track down. One of them was a stamp collection, and it was like as far as like per ounce, it was in the book anyway. It was like the most valuable objects per weight in the world were postage stamps because they're so tiny, and some of them are worth a fortune.
Some are, and there's a lot that aren't.
Yeah,
but they're educational. They're pretty. If I were an elementary school teacher, you know, I would do things around stamps, you know, like the 50 states of the union and the different stamps, you know, that deal with, there's just so much out there. I mean, but you know, I think the art of stamp collecting or interest in stamps has declined over the years.
Yeah. Is it possible that as the, you know, as countries almost looking to cash in, it seemed like they would issue new and unique stamps all the time, and
they kind of dilute
the market. Right?
The islands,
like
Saint Vincent and Grenada and whatever, they'll have like Jerry Garcia stamps.
Yeah,
I need some of those.
Have you been to any? First of all, have you ever like sold any stamps? Were you in the market? Were you trading stamps with people? Did you ever, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did?
I mean, when I was a kid, when I was a Boy Scout, one of the merit badges was stamp collecting.
That's a badge in the Boy Scouts.
Check.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it is now or not, but it was one of the first ones that I got.
Yeah.
Cool.
Stamp
collecting badge. Well, okay, so way back when you did.
But what's fascinating about stamp collecting is what I enjoy are people who are into it are into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they love it. They love to share. It's sort of like a librarian. Mm-hmm. Boy, you know, if you ever want to find out about a librarian, just go in there and ask, do you have a copy of? Whoa, talk about. Isn't that true, Kelly?
It is true. Yep, we are some. Mm-hmm. Yep, they will research it. They will find it for you. We'll probably get it for you if we don't have it.
And you share your love for what you do. You know, I've never met a librarian who hated books. You know, and there's a passion there. Same thing with stamp collectors. Same thing with people who like black licorice. You know, either you do, or it's red. and that's unacceptable.
No in between.
Yeah.
Okay, natural connection. Oh, you're going to say something else, Jack?
No, about natural connections, was I? I don't know. I guess we know that Kelly would share a gardening, I suppose. Right?
Yeah.
Anything else?
That would be, I would say I would share about gardening, seed collecting, seed library, which I do make those presentations every once in a while, more so in the summertime than right now.
I know we've talked on these airwaves about the seed library before, but if for folks who hadn't been paying attention then, tell us, what is a seed library and a seed librarian, and what's the status of the seed library at the East Bonner County Library?
Yeah, so right now it's technically closed for withdrawing seeds, but we are accepting seed donations. So we have this really cute old card catalog next to the DVD section. So you can put your donations on top of there. I also have some handouts on how to save seeds, how to donate seeds. So there's some educational resources there. We also have a lot of books on it, too. But when it's open, you can come withdraw seeds. And by withdraw, I mean you just take them. Mm-hmm. And the intention is for you to grow that seed and then hopefully save the seed from it and then donate that seed back to the library. And when we do that, we're creating our own seed bank. So that seed becomes accustomed to growing in this climate, in this region, and it becomes stronger. And so if we keep donating it, if we keep growing it out, then we're kind of creating our own varietals through that. And we're also saving the history of that seed. So seeds have a long history, and we're losing varieties every year. Something like 80% of the varieties have dwindled down. So we've used to have something like 50 types of cauliflower. Now we're down to like 8, you know? So it's like...
Because
seed saving is becoming more difficult. It's something that's not being practiced or taught by as many people. Some things are more difficult to save seeds from. So something like a squash. It's a little bit harder to save seeds from a squash because they will, what's called, cross-pollinate. So unless you're growing one specific variety of squash in your garden, if you have 3 varieties of squash in your garden, the flowers are going to cross-pollinate with each other. So next year, those seeds that came from that are going to be not true to the type that you grew. So it's something about the education where we're trying to teach people how to do it. We're holding classes. I'm there to kind of educate people. A plug for our next Natural Connections on Saturday, January 25th, is we're going to celebrate National Seed Exchange Day. So it's a nationwide day celebrating seed saving, exchanging of seeds. And so we're going to have some educational programs about seed saving. We're going to screen the movie Seed, the Untold Story, which is this fabulous documentary. It's won lots of awards. It was Emmy nominated for Best Nature Documentary. We're going to show that in the library. So we're going to have a whole day kind of dedicated to seed saving. And that's when we're going to open up our seed library.
This is in January.
So the details aren't completely ironed out. Keep an eye on our website, eastbonnercountylibrary.org. You can sign up for our newsletter on there, and you'll get a nice little email monthly about our special events and things that are happening at the library.
And if we can twist Kelly's arm to come back in January on a Thursday morning to talk about the seed.
You'd be the person to talk to, I would think.
Yeah. So will you come back on in January and share your passion and your knowledge?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
Booker Dano.
Okay.
It's like a plan.
We've got we've been talking about Natural Connections, which is December 14th. That's not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Yep.
What's going on this Saturday?
So this Saturday is a really fun event. We've got our open mic night. It is at Evans Brothers. It's from 5:30 to 7:30, so it's after Evans Brothers closes. It's a library-sponsored event in conjunction with Evans Brothers, so two obviously wonderful community businesses. And so it's a really fun event. We did it in October, and it was so amazing. I cried because people's passion came through. People. So what you can do is you come, you can sign up for a 5-minute time slot to do poetry, spoken word, comedy, short stories, music, anything you want to. Or you can just sit and enjoy. I just sat and enjoyed. I am not going to get up on stage and share anything, but it was just beautiful. People sang these wonderful songs. People read from their books that they're writing. It was a whole host of people that came. And it's just lovely. Evans Brothers, you know, at nighttime, like it's just, they just have that really cozy vibe. We're going to have coffee. Our special Book Nook blend will be there. We'll have light refreshments, decaf coffee, teas, you know, just water, obviously. So it's a really nice way to spend an evening.
So it's this Saturday.
This Saturday.
At Evans Brothers from 5?
5:30.
5:30.
5:30
to 7:30. Arrive early.
Yeah, if you want to get like a specialty cocktail, I suggest getting there before 5. Don't ask them after they've closed. But we will have coffee there for free.
Cool. Good. This is the second or third open mic night that you've done.
I think third one. Yeah.
Getting a nice response so far?
Yeah, great response. The one in October, it was the same time as the Harvest Fest or the Farmer's Market. There was a ton going on. We had a lot of people there. It was a packed house in Evans Brothers.
Wonderful.
Nice showing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we've got stuff on both Saturdays.
Yeah. Yep.
We've been booked.
Are you gonna be performing, Kelly, at the open mic?
I will not be performing. Okay. Unfortunately, my music is reserved for the car with my kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would want that.
Okay.
Okay, and so that's the next two Saturdays happenings. One at Evans Brothers, the 7th, and one at the library, the Natural Connections, on the 14th. And in January, besides your seed, what else is happening?
So we have a really special event that we're doing. It's called Let's Talk About It at the Library. It's a statewide book discussion series. So it's put on through the Idaho Commission for Libraries. And so it's a scholar-led book discussion. So this month is The Firekeeper's Daughter by... I should know this. Angeline Bouley. So the discussion is going to be led by Janice Johnson. How it works is you can go check these books out at the information desk at the library right now. We have quite a few copies available. You can check it out. It's also available on the Libby app, so you can check it out on Libby. They also have the audio version on Libby. And on January 9th, we're going to have the scholar-led discussion. So it's a really special event that we're participating in. Our theme that we chose is Through Indigenous Story, an Invitation to Understanding. So we're focusing on the literature by Indigenous authors. There's two more books after this first one, but I wanted to focus on this first one because you still have time to go get the book from the library. Mm-hmm. You can, like I said, you can get it on the Libby app. And as long as you return that book by the before on the event, we're all good.
With all of these events happening at the library, can a listener go to a website?
Yes. So if you go to our website, eastbonnercountylibrary.org, and you click on our event section, it'll give you a nice calendar. And you can choose, and it'll tell you about, you can filter it out through what you're looking for. If you're looking for kids activities or teen activities, because there's all sorts of activities happening at the library. I'm always amazed when I look at our calendar of, oh my goodness, like the teen center, the teen room is making chocolates, you know, like they're always doing something. There's always some new innovative event happening at the library. So check out the website. Also sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter is a great way to just have it handy in your inbox. And also just come by the library because we have that nice little kiosk right when you walk in and it has all of our events that are happening.
What day did you say that the Let's Talk About It event is?
So it's January 9th.
January 9th.
Yep, okay. At 5:30 p.m.
That's a Thursday.
Yep.
I was going to say, what day of the week is that?
Thursday, okay. Yep, 5:30. The scholar is Janice Johnson. She's a teacher at the University of Idaho. And yeah, like I said, this is a statewide event. Different libraries choose different themes. This was the theme that we settled on.
So can you, I don't want to dwell on this too long, but can you speak to how is this coordinated with like the rest of the state? Who came up with this idea?
So this series has been going on since 1985. So it's a long running series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Idaho Commission for Libraries has been spearheading it. The Idaho Humanities Council, the Institute of Museum and Library Services, the National Endowment for the Humanities, they're the ones funding this series through the state of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
So they're providing these books and these resources and the compensating the scholars for their time and travel to come to these events. So it's essentially free for our library to participate in this. It's also sponsored locally by the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force and the Friends of the Library. So a lot of big names backing this really important series.
Well,
and I will say I started to read the book and it's fabulous. It's really good. My sister, who just reads books all the time, she said she's already read it and she was really excited to see that we're reading it as a library and to discuss it. So
once again, January 9th, a Thursday, and the book is?
The Firekeeper's Daughter.
Perfect.
Okay. Well,
Kelly, the library is always a fascinating place to be. I mean, I discovered my library, the Virginia Tutt branch of the South Bend Library on Miami Street. I loved it. You know, it was quiet in there and I was in my own world. I think libraries are comfort food.
Yeah.
Like a date truffle.
Like a date truffle with tea. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you so much for coming in. And can we book you for a January visit?
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Yep.
Okay, we will be in touch with you and schedule one. And the seed date in January is?
Saturday, January 25th.
Okay,
it'll be 10 to 2.
Okay, so we can do that. Let's do a music break as we say goodbye to Kelly. Which one should we do? Amy Winehouse or the Beatles?
You call it. I'm sure you have a reason for selecting both of these songs. I'm not sure what they are.
Well, okay, we'll go with the Amy Winehouse one. It was on this date in 2011 that Lioness Hidden Treasures was released. This is a posthumous album where they dusted off all of the what they had in the recording studio and bank and everything like this. And they it's a collection. It's uneven. They're not all equally produced the same way, but I thought I selected this one because it's a old Shirelles hit written by Carole King, and it's Amy Winehouse doing Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow.
We'll be back in a minute talking about the big KRFY Holiday Spectacular, which is coming up tomorrow night, so stay tuned for that, and Brendan Kelty's going to join us too, but here's Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse on this date, December the 5th in 2011. The album Lioness, Hidden Treasures was released in the UK. It was a posthumous compilation album that featured unreleased songs and demos, which means that they're probably not produced or as finished as maybe they could be.
When did she pass away?
I do not know that. I would say about 09 or 10.
No, it was, I just looked it up, that same year. So she died in July of 2011.
And so they cashed in, put it bluntly, before we forget who she was, is.
She was 27.
She was the class of 27 with, you can go through Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, and there are others. The class of 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we get on to the business of the morning show, what did you, I think my memory of Amy Winehouse during the time that she was alive was, I knew her more as like a tabloid fixture than I knew her music, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I think that was like, it was, Amy Winehouse is in trouble again. And then Amy Winehouse tragically passed away, and I didn't really know her music at the time that well, personally.
Before she had all of the difficulties with addiction, she was spectacular with her beehive hairdo. I mean, it's sort of like you wear a beehive, you got me hooked, like the B-52s, I mean, I love a beehive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you, were you aware of her when she was alive, Brendan?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And appreciate her music at the time? Would you say?
At the time I was more into roots music, but definitely saw her as a huge talent.
Yeah.
And she collaborated with Tony Bennett at one point.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I only really came to appreciate her after she had already passed away.
I do remember that when her song Rehab was nominated for a Grammy, she was not allowed to come into the United States. Right, so she accepted it in Britain, which is, of course, like 6 hours behind, or if it's a West Coast thing, 9 hours behind. And she performed it.
Yeah.
At some ungodly hour,
I remember that.
She shone brightly, but not for long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hit the scene in 2006. That was her big, that was Back to Black, the big, her big album, her biggest hit record, I think. And then, had passed away.
Baby
5 years
wants
later.
Me to go to rehab, but I say no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Brendan. Amy Winehouse. There we go.
Brendan, what are you going to do tomorrow night?
Yes, Brendan, tell us. What are you up to?
Well, let me think here. What am I doing?
Time's up. Right. Time's up.
I'll be at the Sandpoint Community Center performing some music with a lively house band and other great acts.
Did you get down to the garage last night? Did I hear that you were going to go down to the Gunter compound and do some practicing?
Yeah, word gets around fast in these parts.
I heard about that. So you were down there, you were warming up a little bit.
That's right.
Okay. How'd it go?
It was a fun time.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
I think Paul, who's playing bass for the house band, his music cave is something to behold.
It is. Yes. I think he's, as far as I know, he's trying to get rid of equipment now because he's overflowed the garage and he's into the shed and he's into the main house, I think, as well with all the gear. And so I think he's trying to pare down, but, I'm not sure how well that's going.
Not very well.
Yeah.
From what I can tell.
Yeah. So you were down there, you did a little warm up. Do I understand that Andy Ulrich is going to be joining you as well?
That's correct.
And he is a phenomenal fiddle player.
That's right.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Is he the one who with the Grateful Dead touring tribute band, they had a fiddle player there, and I didn't catch his name, but he was amazing. And he just got up and performed with them.
That's him.
That's him. Yep.
Andy Ulrich. Oh,
yep. Absolutely incredible.
He's great. Yeah, he is great. And I'm glad that we have that he'll be joining you, because he's
okay.
He's
joining
fun
us.
To see.
Well, when and where?
There we go. It's the KRFY Holiday Spectacular tomorrow night at 7:00 p.m. at Sandpoint Community Hall. If you want to come down and see it in person, if you're going to try and listen to it from the comfort of your own home, I think you know where to tune. You are listen to it the same way you're listening to this right now.
88.5 KRFY.
Or stream it online, krfy.org. But if you want to come down and see it in person, and trust me, you do. Tickets are available through our website, krfy.org. They're just $10. And seating is first come, first serve. So,
and it's 7 to
come
9.
Come on down. Yep. 7 to 9 is the show. We'll open the doors at 6. Come on down early. I know we have at least, I think there's 5 volunteers who are all baking a few dozen cookies. We'll have cocoa, mm-hmm. cider, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And some, we'll have some lyrics printed out for popular Christmas carols that people can sing before the show even begins if it's some more entertainment is necessary.
And there'll be local programmers there so that you'll have an mm-hmm. opportunity to put a face with the voices.
Yes.
Maybe you don't want to do that.
It's fun. Yeah, it's always fun to put a face with the voices. After we're off the air here this morning, I'm heading down there to go start decorating for the big show.
Okay.
That's the plan. Okay, so that's the KRFY Holiday Spectacular. Brendan Kelty is one of our many musical guests. Beth Peterson also, Josh Hedlund also, Nichelle Gonzalez, who we don't really have time to go into everybody's biography, but she kind of reached out and just sent in a particular winter song that we thought would be just perfect and a little different. So
cool.
We'll play that. The Sandpoint High School Choir will be caroling downtown on Saturday night, and they are just going to continue right down First Avenue into the doors, and will be performing live on the air for us as well.
But you said Saturday night.
Oh, I did say Saturday night. I meant Friday. Friday night. Friday night. Friday night.
Okay.
Friday night. I got to practice this. I'm not very good at Anyway, it's all happening on Friday night tomorrow. Don't miss it. If you show up on Saturday, it will be too late. So come tomorrow night down to Sandpoint Community Hall. That's the deal. It's going to be very cool, I think. I think we're going to put on a very good show. Brendan, you're in the ticket sales business, and usually we don't sell tickets to our event, and it's been so stressful until recently. And that we opened up ticket sales on like November 1st. It was very slow the first week, and it's been kind of exponentially building. And now it does look like we're moving some tickets here, and I don't want to threaten anybody and say we're gonna sell out and don't come down and don't show up. But I would say get your tickets now. I would go ahead and say that. Go to krfy.org if you want to come and see the event in person.
And speaking of sold out,
hey,
Gothard Sisters.
Yeah.
Yep. This Saturday, December 7th, the Gothard Sisters is a trio of multi-instrumentalists, and they're going to be playing some Celtic Christmas music. They're based out of Washington, and they've been growing in our area. So started out, had them over, I believe, the Harwood originally, and now they have quickly grown, and now they're sold out at the Panada this Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we were, and I think I was talking to Caitlin last time somebody was here from the Panada. They came in, I think, for St. Patrick's Day, and I talked to them here in the studio. But, yes, phenomenal musicians, and I'm glad that they're back and making this a regular stop on their tour.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They also throw in a little bit of dancing.
The dancing is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So that's Saturday night, but did you say that is already sold out?
It's gone. It is. Okay. Yep, fully sold out. Official.
Well, then never mind.
There's hope for those wanting to catch a trio of fine female artists.
Yes. In the Celtic style, even.
In the Celtic Christmas style, exactly. Uh-huh. So just a few days later, on the 10th, we have Everdream of Ireland performing A Celtic Christmas at the Panada.
Very cool.
Yeah.
This is a Tuesday night show.
The 10th.
We are going to get them on the phone, I believe, and talk to them on Monday for airplay, actually on Tuesday around noon, so you can hear them talking to us at least the day of the show. But if this would be one that you want to see, especially because these people are really from Ireland. They're not from Washington State, for goodness sakes.
Exactly. In fact, about 12 hours ago, they were... Uh-huh. They were up in the sky flying over the pond from Ireland. So that's true. They're coming over from Ireland, and they're doing a tour in eastern Washington and north Idaho.
Cool.
And, if you're disappointed about the Gothard Sisters, highly recommend these ladies. They do have a more Celtic, kind of a traditional spiritual approach.
Mm-hmm.
But harp, violin, and soprano.
Cool. For those they've been here before, too. I think they play... Did they perform last around Christmas time too? Do you remember?
Maybe
the
year before.
It might have been before.
Maybe not this Christmas, but the previous one. Maybe, like yeah. That.
Okay.
And I believe this is their third or fourth year in town.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's if I'm thinking of the right group, I think that also is usually a well sold event.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you'd say? Well sold? Yes. People go to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's coming up. What else is on the agenda over there at the Panada Theater?
Sure. If we can rewind a little bit Friday, and not to compete with the KRFY event.
No, this is a nice consolation prize. If you're turned away
at the community hall,
the KRFY event, you have a backup option. Yes. You can go down to the Panada and catch. Go ahead.
$5 film.
Mm-hmm.
The 35th anniversary of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, the 35th anniversary.
That's right.
Wow.
1989.
Huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. That is a fun one. I mean, not to compete with our event.
No
it's not that good. Just kidding. Yeah, that'll be fine if you're more in the mood to watch something on a screen than to see real live local entertainment. Well, then yes, this is a good.
It looks like we're battling this out on live air.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
KRFY versus Panada.
Mm-hmm. Yes. we'll see. But anyway, that's going on this Friday at the Panada.
Yeah.
December is usually a very busy month at the Panada. Is it the busiest month of the year?
It sure looks like it. We had a super busy March, but this is shaping up to be probably the most busy month.
Yeah.
March.
That's interesting.
March Madness.
Yeah.
It was March Madness at the Panada.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. And so this just in from our illustrious executive director.
Mm-hmm.
Everdream actually sold out last year at the Panada.
Aha. I knew it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Rob.
Uh-huh. Another good reason to get your tickets for that event.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's on a Tuesday night this time around.
That's correct.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to talking to them next week as well. The real deal.
Absolutely. And they're super friendly and gracious folks. So I'm sure you guys will have a good convo.
I would think so.
And December is just, we are full of community, dance, and theater.
Yes.
So as an example, this Monday we have DanceWorks, a DanceWorks Christmas performance. And then if you just stay posted to us, we've got the Nutcracker coming online from Allegro Dance Studio. And that'll be a little later. Starting Friday, the December 13th through the 15th. And, of course, LPRT will be having their Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A live production.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing on Sunday this weekend, it looks like? Or am I wrong about that?
You are correct.
Okay.
You are correct there.
Phew.
Yeah, we have a little break on
breath.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And for all of these events, you can go to panada.org.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
And find out about what these events are, as well as buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. Well, as usual, we've gone over our allotted time. We better talk about Bird Note.
Which we will play.
Next week's our big community radio celebration.
Yeah.
And you're not even going to be here, Jim.
I'm going to be here for Monday night. On Monday night, what's going on next week is pairing local programmers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be going on with Terry Nobody, the Beasts and the Priests. You know, I know nothing about metal music, and he has mentioned to me that he knows little about folk music.
Oh, this is going to be a good show.
So we're going to have fun.
Okay,
You know, he's going to explain why I should be a metalhead, and I need to explain why he needs to wear Birkenstocks and jeans and a flannel shirt.
That is, okay, 9 p.m. on Monday night.
Yeah,
don't
so
miss that one.
That's a celebration all week because I'm heading out on December the 10th.
Okay. Well, when you return, we'll ask you where
you've been. I'll be back with you on the 26th.
Okay. Not until Boxing Day. Yeah. We'll miss
That's right.
Okay.
I'll miss me.
But well, I guess I started to say that. So tune in next week, all next week during the morning show. We're talking to local programmers. On Monday, we've got the Community Character Hour folks and Dr. Joanne from Medical Musings.
Always good. Always good, she is.
Teaming up. And stay tuned all week long. We're talking to all the programmers here at KRFY about the radio station and about their shows. That's going to be our focus, and on Thursday, hopefully we can squeeze somebody in from the Panada because it's so busy over there. We better, you know, we should talk more about
book us now, Jack.
Okay, anyway, so tune in all next week for that. We also have live music at 4 o'clock in the afternoon coming to you from the studio all next week, and. So it's a 4 to 5 kind of drive time hour, and somebody will be here spinning tunes live behind the microphone during the day at noon o'clock. That's our other going to be our other kind of big focus time here at the radio station. And then, as you mentioned, kind of a programming swap throughout the week to tune into your favorite local shows to see what other DJs drop in and
who gets matched with who. It's sort of like, you know, they used to have that television show where the wives would swap, you know, with different families. And this will be, you know, maybe Terry will let me do Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. And once I learn about them.
Yes. Well, I think your challenge will be to try and recruit some of his audience to the 9 o'clock Thursday slot. Try and get some of the metalheads, convince them that there's a reason that they should listen to folk music.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Led Zeppelin in the early days was a metalhead, but one of their early albums had a Joan Baez song.
Hey.
Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
You're starting already.
Yep, they're coming over into the folk era.
Yeah. Well, okay, this is the busiest time of year, probably at the, one of the busiest times of year here at the radio station, and we are always thankful for your support. This is Panhandle Community Radio, brought to you entirely by listeners like you and grants and support from this community. We sell no advertising, and if you feel like supporting this fine, independent local radio station, krfy.org is probably the easiest way to make a donation and keep us on the air for what is now 13 years and counting.
2011. Going
strong. If you're feeling grateful for this radio station, if you're feeling generous at this time of year, well, here we are.
And it's since we're a 501c3, it's a tax-free donation.
906. We did it, I guess. It's time now
for the bird note.
For goodness sakes. tune in tomorrow night, folks. It's going to be a great show at 7 o'clock. And here's Bird Note on 88.5 KRFY Pondere.
This is Bird Note. Looking at a Canada goose, you might not think their bodies are designed for fancy flying. But watch as a flock of geese comes in for a landing.